Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. It all starts with the mind. As it has been said, as a man thinks, so is he. So when your mind is happy, your life is happy. You'll discover that when your mind is happy, your relationships get better. When your mind is happy, your health gets better. You'll even discover when your mind is happy, your money gets right. So tune in and let's discuss how to have a happy mind in order to have a happy life. Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. This is your host, Sheila Willis, Abundance Life Coach, and I am always, as always, I am excited and happy to be here tonight, and I am excited and happy that you are here with me. It is 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Today is March 29th, 2018, and can you believe that we are at the end of March and getting ready to go into spring? I mean, wow, the time is really, really flying by. I know we always think that every year, but it actually seems like the time is speeding up each year, and I don't know if it has something to do with getting older or not, but time truly, truly is seeming like it's speeding up. So we're here tonight. We're flying solo tonight. I don't have a guest, but I do have some exciting announcements I want to make before we get into our discussion. And tonight we're going to be talking about your oddity is your commodity. Our discussion again tonight is going to be on your oddity is your commodity. And basically, we're going to be sharing with how being different and how being the odd man out is a fuel for success. So stay tuned. You know, we want to discuss the power of difference, the power of difference. But before I get into our discussion, I do want to share with you some upcoming events, because usually once I get into the discussion, you know, my time runs out and I'm not able to get back and share with you the announcements. So the announcements are as follows. And for some reason, when I said that, I thought about the announcer that would do that in church. But anywho, tonight we want to, I want to share with you that I am going to be holding a webinar in the month of May. I haven't quite decided on the date, but I do know it's going to be in the month of May, probably the second week in May, because I'm going to Jamaica the first week. So it'll probably be the second week in May. And the webinar is going to be entitled My Money Boo. And basically, it's going to deal with your relationship with money, because your relationship with money basically determines the flow of money in your life. So we're going to be talking about looking at your relationship with money, and if it's not where it should be, what you can do to improve it. Because when you improve your relationship with money, you'll see an improvement with the flow of money in your life. And then we're going to talk about identifying and removing some money blocks, things that are hindering the flow of money in your life. So that's coming up real soon, so please stay tuned for that. I also have some new designs of t-shirts, one dedicated to the Black Panther and the other dedicated to Queens. And when I'm referring to queens in this instance, I'm talking about royalty of women. And so those two T-shirts, and they are really, really cute. I think they are the best designs that I have created thus far. I think I'm getting better at the creating and designing part of the t-shirts, but they will be on my website, which is www.lifecoachsheilawillis.com. They will be on my website by morning, so please check them out. I think you'll find that they're really cute, and we will appreciate your supporting us in that endeavor. And if they don't resonate with you, perhaps share them on your page or share them with some other people that may enjoy them. I would very much like to have your support and participation in that. We design inspirational, fun type of t-shirts, and it basically helps us to do what we do so we can do more marketing, more advertising, more webinars, more seminars, and just reach the people that we have been called to reach. So please support us. Also, I do have a revised my book I have on Amazon. It's been on Amazon for maybe 2 or 3 years, but I just really have not been marketing or promoting it as much as I should. But the title of it is The 10 Simple Ways to Manifest More Money. The 10 Simple Ways to Manifest More Money with the Law of Attraction. So that is on Amazon.com. Please grab a copy. It's an ebook, so it's an instant download. It's really short and sweet, so you can read it within a few hours, you know, and it'll give you just some real simple steps on how you can get started with manifesting more money in your life. So those basically the things that I wanted to share with you before I get into the discussion tonight. And as always, you're welcome to call in. Our call-in number is 949-534-0637. Again, the number to call in, and this is the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. I am your host, Sheila Willis, and you can call in and either call, you can call and listen in, or you can call in to ask questions or give your comments or whatever. And that phone number again is 949-534-0637, and we would love to hear from you. Again, I appreciate you being here with us tonight. I know that you could be anywhere else, you can be doing anything else, but you decided to share your time with me, and I appreciate that. And just want to give a shout out to our global audience that's listening in. I do appreciate you. Not sure exactly what time you're listening in, but most likely it is on a replay. But I do appreciate you. And just to let everyone know, in case we do have some new listeners, hello to you if you are a new listener, and welcome. And just want to let everyone know that our shows, every episode that we have done, we've been on the air now for a year. We've been on this particular platform, Blog Talk Radio, for about 6 months, but we've been on the air for about a year because we were on a different radio show before this one. And at any rate, every episode that we have ever done since we've been on Blog Talk Radio is recorded and is on my on-demand channel. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/happymindhappylife. And you can listen to, you know, any of the episodes that we have done. I do apologize now that it's come to mind. We had some technical difficulties last week. It was all my fault. Just before we came on live, I was playing around with some different tools and things in the studio, and I was trying to work on my intro, and I'm happy to have my intro back, by the way. And I was trying to work on it, and I just kind of pushed the wrong buttons and did some things that messed up the recording, and the recording was playing while I was trying to come on live, and it was just a big fiasco. So if you were listening in last week to all of that, I do apologize for that, but I got a handle on that, and here we are. And hopefully you're hearing me well, and everything is coming across as well as it should be. So again, let us go on. Let me go on. I don't want to prolong our time. And I just really, the flow of how I want the show to be tonight, I just really kind of want to have a like a fireside chat with you. And that's kind of how I want the flow of the show to go. And so I want to talk to you again. The discussion that we're having tonight is your oddity is your commodity. And we're talking about the power of difference. And I thought about this show, you know, from my discussions with different clients and different people that I'm in contact with and have relationships with. And I was sharing, or someone was sharing with me the other day, that how it seems like they never fit in, and it seems like they're always the odd man out. So I thought about coming on tonight and talking about that, because I know that they're not the only ones that feel like that. And perhaps some of you that are listening in tonight, and if you are listening in, most likely you do feel that way. And that's why this show resonated with you. So I want to give you some encouragement on being different tonight, and to show you perhaps why you are different and why you are the unusual or the peculiar one in your, or the strange one or the odd one in your particular group. And I want to share a couple of stories with you tonight. I may not have time to share all of them, but I'm going to try to sum them up really quickly, so I'll be able to share all of the stories I want to share with you tonight. And then I want to share my own personal story on this subject. And so, again, with hopes that you're going to be inspired, encouraged, and uplifted to know that your oddity truly is your commodity. So, the power of difference. Start here with this story, and this is, I'm going to tell this in my own words, but you could find this scripture, this story in scriptures. Now, again, tonight, I understand that my listening audience is a mixed audience, and everyone here is not a Christian, and so I'm not having a religious program. I'm going to tell this story from the scripture because it makes it'll make my point, you know, and you'll be able to see yourself or see why being different can be your fuel for success. So that's what I'm about here. I'm not trying to convert anyone over into Christianity. I'm going to refer to the Bible because that's basically where my foundation is. But I quote the Bible and I quote many other books and so on and so forth. So don't get nervous on me tonight. Just hang in here. Truth is truth no matter where it's found. And whether you be a Christian or a non-Christian, when you hear the truth, it should resonate with you regardless of where it comes from. And it does have the power to free you, and it does have the power to deliver you. So let me share this story in my own words. So there was a young man. And this young man was a dreamer, and he had the grandest dreams. I mean, he had big dreams. This little one that was the youngest of his family at that time had these grand dreams, and all of his brothers were bigger and larger and stronger than he was, but he was the one that had this dream. And for whatever reason, his father adored him. His father had a special type of love for him, or I would say an affection for him. Not that the father didn't love all his children, but he had a certain affection for him. So he gave his son, this dreamer, a coat, and it was a coat that had many colors to it, and he gave it to him as a gift. And so the son, this little dreamer, would walk around in this coat, and he would, you know, prance around and strut around in this coat because he was happy, one, that his father had made it, and he knew it was something special about the coat. However, when his brothers saw him strutting around and walking around in this coat with all of these beautiful colors, they began to get angry. They were a little peeved, you know, they were a little upset about that because, one, their father didn't make them one, and they didn't understand, well, who is he? Why does he get to have a coat and we don't have one? And so they had an attitude against this dreamer. They had an attitude against their brother. And so when their brother, this one that was favored with this coat of many colors, when he began to share his dream, he had this dream that was just phenomenal in his eyes. And so, of course, he wanted to share it. And he thought he would be able to share it with his family, the ones that loved him and the ones that supposed to support him. So when he went to share this story, this is the story that he shared. He said, I had a dream, because it was a dream that he had. He said, I had a dream. And in my dream, he said, the stars bowed down to me. He said, there were 12 stars, and all of these stars bowed down to me. And I was ruler over them. And the brothers knew that he was talking about them. And so they got upset. Now, they were already upset with him. But then when he came with this story that one day that they were going to bow down to him, they thought, well, who do he think he is? He's gotten a little too cocky. He's got a little too big-headed. He's got a little bit too much for himself. And so when they went to share with the father what this little dreamer had said, the father thought, oh, no biggie, you know, no big deal. He's just sharing his dream. He dreamed it, so he's sharing it, no big deal. But then the little dreamer had another dream, and what he dreamed was this. He dreamed in this dream that not only did the 12 stars bow down to him, and not only was he the ruler over them, but the sun and the moon bowed down to him as well. And in his interpretation of the dream, the sun and the moon was his mother and father. So now he has his mother and his father and the sons and his brothers all bowing down to him. Now, when he shared this story with the brothers, and when he shared this story with the mother and the father was like, oh, wait a minute, hold on now. It's one thing to say that your brothers are going to bow down to you and you're going to be ruler over them. But it's another thing when you talk about me and your mom going to bow down to you. But that didn't stop David from dreaming, and that didn't stop, that didn't stop the little boy from dreaming. That didn't stop the dreamer from holding on to the dreams and the interpretation of the dream. He knew that one day he was going to be this great ruler, and people would bow down to him. He did not understand, he did not know how it was going to happen, but he knew it was going to happen. Now, his brothers looking at him angry and jealous and upset with him and seeing this different thing about him because of this coat of many colors that was placed upon him separated him from the rest of them. So he was the odd man out. He was the unusual thing. He was that peculiar, strange thing. He wasn't a part of the group. So the brothers, being grouped or being connected or being clicked up, they decided that they were going to get rid of this little dreamer. Even though that he was their brother, they were sick of him. They were sick of his grand dreams. They were sick of him wanting to be bigger than what they thought he was or bigger than what they thought he should be. They were jealous, you know. And scriptures say that jealousy is crueler than the grave. And so they wanted to kill him. So they said, this is what we're going to do. The next time we go out to hunt, we're going to kill him. We're going to get rid of him and his haughtiness and his lifting himself up and him being trying to be bigger than who he think he is. We're going to kill him. So the next time they went out to hunt, that's what they decided to do. They decided to kill him. So when they grabbed a hold to him and got ready to cut his throat, there was one brother even though he was mad at him too, even though he didn't like his stories of grandeur, even though he felt like he was putting him down and lifting himself up, he had a love for him because it was his brother. So he said, hold on now, we're not going to kill him. Let's not kill him. I cannot see us bringing an end to our brother's life with our own hand. So let's just get rid of him. Let's throw him in the pit. That's what we'll do. We'll throw him in the pit. And so they decided that they would throw this little dreamer with these dreams of grandeur who thought so much of himself because of the dreams that he had had. They got rid of him. Now, here's something I want to note about right about here. Now, here was this brother. Although he did not like what was going on, he did not have a heart. He did not have a heart to kill with his own hands, but yet he had a heart to throw him in a pit and leave him to die. And when I think about this story, I just keep thinking about that song, you know, that old song, The Backstabbers. They smile in your face, but all the time they want to take your place, The Backstabbers. I believe that song is by OJ. And so when I think about that, I think about, yeah, here you have some love for him, but yet you don't have enough love to not harm him. You have a love for him, but you want to kill him. You want to throw him in the pit and let him die. And so they went on back to, the brothers went on back to, without David, and they went on back to their father, and they told their father that, you know, something had happened to him, an animal had got him and killed him, and, you know, that was the end of him. They grieved the father because the father loved him. The father saw something different in him. Even though he didn't quite understand why he and his wife would bow down to him, he knew that there was something of different about this little dreamer. So he grieved him. He felt horrible for his loss. But here were the brothers. They were glad he was gone because they didn't have to hear these grand stories about this little dreamer anymore. But what happened was this. And I'll try to make this short so I can get to the point of what I'm making here. What happened was that there were some slave traders that found this little dreamer, and they took him into Egypt, and they made him a slave. They put him into prison. And so while he was in prison, listen, even though he was cast into a pit, even though he was put into prison, his gifts still were working. His gifts were still active. He was still dreaming dreams, and he was still interpreting dreams because that was his gift. That was the thing that made him different from the rest. That was the thing that made him odd, the oddball. That was the thing that made him peculiar, was his ability to dream life and interpret it. And so as he was in jail, there was a man there that was a baker. He happened to have been a part of the king's court, but he had done something to upset the king, so the king put him in jail or in prison. And so here he was in prison with this dreamer that dreamed these dreams, this peculiar oddball that was in prison with him. And he had a dream. The baker had a dream, and he didn't understand what the dream meant. And so he shared it with this little dreamer. He shared it with him, and the dreamer, because his gift was interpreting dreams, he told him what it meant, and he told him, in 3 days, you're going to get out of here, you know. And then there was another one in there that was a part of the king's court, and he told him his dream. He said, well, in 3 days, your head's going to be cut off. And just as he said, in 3 days, they cut off the man's head. But then the baker, He was delivered out of jail, just like this little dreamer told him. And so he said, as they came to get the baker to take him out of, to release him from prison, this little dreamer said, please remember me. Remember me. Remember me when you go back to the king. Remember me. Put in a good word for me. And, of course, the baker said, yes, I will. But when he got back in the flow of things, when he got back with the king, he forgot all about the little dreamer, because now he was flowing in his own thing. Now he was back doing his thing. He forgot who had helped him get there because now he was flowing in his own thing. Let me make a point here. Sometimes you, the oddball, you that is peculiar, you that has something different about you that makes other people uncomfortable because they can see something in you that's different from the rest, You have a gift, or you have a talent, or you have an ability, or a call, or a dream, or a passion, or your destiny is different from most people. And so you will help these people. You'll help somebody along the way. Somebody will come and you'll share your money with them. You will share your gift with them. You'll share your talent with them. Maybe you're the one that prayed them through. Maybe you're the one that gave them finances to finance their business or to do accomplish some of the dreams and goals that they have. And when they make it, they forget all about you. They forget to say, well, John Doe helped me. John Doe prayed me through. I remember when I didn't have no place to live or nowhere to turn, and John Doe was the one that took me in, or John Doe was the one that prophesied to me or prayed for me or lifted me up or whatever it is that you did for these people. But when they get to where they're going, they no longer acknowledge you. They don't acknowledge that you were the one that shared or your story with them and they were inspired. They don't acknowledge that part of what they do is because of something you said, because of something you shared with them. And they'll grab a hold to what you say and they'll run with it. Now, I'm going to insert a little personal story right here. I hadn't intended to do this, but I'm going to go on and do it because it just feels right and it feels like it'll fit right here. I remember I had a seminar one time, a webinar one time, and a very dear person to me came to that webinar. And I was excited that the person came. I was excited for the person's support. And then the next day, or maybe the day after, I saw the same exact thing that I taught in the webinar. They had built a page or a group based on what I had taught. And they had invited, you know, all of the same people basically that we are connected to and that we deal with. They had invited all of these people to come to this group and to be a part of this group using the material that I had just taught in the webinar. There wasn't anything different. It was what I said almost word from word. It was almost verbatim of what I said. And when but no mention that I went to Sheila's seminar yesterday or her webinar yesterday, and she shared this, and so I wanted to form a group and share some of the things that she was saying. It wasn't that. It was as if they had like it all came from them. No mention of me, no mention of the webinar, nothing. I felt a little offended by that, and I reached out to the person and I said, you know, I don't mind you sharing information from webinars or seminars or any or courses that I teach, but can you mention where it came from? If you're going to quote me, then please tell the people that I, you know, that the quote came from me. This person got very offended and said, you know, well, I paid to come, and so I can use the information for however I want to, and blah, 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 and they went on and on and on. But then I began to realize that it was just a distraction to try to keep me from doing what I needed to do. And so I just let it go. And I said, you know what? Do you do whatever you think. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. The information that I shared, birthed that. It came through experience. It came through, I didn't just, you know, I studied it, you know, and I learned it, but then I also experienced it for me to be able to share it. It's a revelation. And so you're just regurgitating information. And so it's not going to, you're not going to be able to flow with it long, because once you run out of what I taught in 2 hours, that's going to be it from you. But I will be able to continue on because I have a revelation of the information that I teach. And lo and behold, it may not have even been a week before the group was no more. And so I said that to say this. Sometimes people will take your information. Sometimes they will take what you did for them or what you said to them or what you shared with them, and they'll run off and make a name for themselves and not even mention that you were a part of it. And that's what this baker did. He didn't even think about Joseph was the one that helped him. Joseph was the one that interpreted his dream and helped him to be encouraged and helped him to get to back to where he was. And so let me finish with that story, and I'm hoping everyone is really being able to see as I'm sharing this story how being the odd man out can be your commodity, because I'm going to really bring it home, and I'm trying to make it quick so you can really get a hold to it. But here's the rub. So he, even though he forgot about Joseph, and Joseph had to suffer more time in jail, he never lost his gift, and he never stopped being who he was. He never let go of his dreams. He never let go of his desires. He knew that he was created for a purpose, and there was a reason that he had a great destiny. And so what happened was that the king had a dream. And the king was so perplexed by this dream. He was so worried about this dream. He was just, you know, it was keeping him up at night. He was losing sleep, and he wasn't eating. He was so just perplexed and worried. He was so worried about this dream because he could not understand it, but he knew it meant something. It was very vital and very important, but he just didn't understand the revelation or the interpretation of the dream. And so he was sending for his wise men, and he was sending for counselors and all of the wisest people that he had around him, and he was trying to figure out, what did this dream mean? You know, he said, I got to have an answer to this. I'm perplexed. I'm worried. I got to figure this out. He couldn't even function as the king. He couldn't even do the things that he needed to do as the king because he was so bothered and so worried and so overwhelmed by these dreams. And then the baker remembered, there's a man in prison. There's a man that can interpret. There's a man that you can that told me all about myself, that told me all about my dreams. And so they sent for him, and though it had been years now, years. That's how long it had been that he was still left in prison. But they went and got him. And yes, you know, when the king told him his dream, he was able to tell the king exactly what it meant. And not only did he interpret the dream, and not only did he give him, you know, the meaning of it, but he was able to give him a solution for what the dream meant. And basically, this is what it meant. The dream that the king had, and he was the king of Egypt, he had dreamed that the dream that he had was that telling them that there was a famine that was coming in the land, and that the famine was going to be so bad till it was going to wipe everybody out, because it was basically going to be no food. Again, I am putting this in my own word. You can go to the scriptures and read it for yourself, but I'm trying to make this short and quick, and I'm putting it into my own words. So basically, this famine was going to wipe everybody out, but this dreamer, and it not only gave the interpretation, but he was wise enough to tell them what they could do so that everybody wouldn't die during the famine. And so when the king followed his instructions, they were saved from the famine. And Egypt was the only nation, the only country that had food during this time of famine. because they followed the instructions of this wise young dreamer. The king was so excited and so happy for what this dreamer had done that he made him the prince of Egypt. So here this strange, odd, peculiar young man that was cast into the pit, that was sold into slavery, that was put into the dungeon in the prison, that was left there and forgotten, rolls up to be the prince of Egypt. And we know that man as Joseph. And Joseph, through his wisdom and through the gifts that he had been given, was able to save a nation. And not only able to save a nation with his little odd self, with his little different self, not only was he able to save a nation, he saved many nations. Because what began to happen when people found out that Egypt had food, then they were coming from all over everywhere to get the food that Egypt had. And you know they didn't give it away for free. So Egypt became more wealthy and more powerful than it already was because of the wisdom and because of the gifts that this young odd dreamer had. So him being odd, having these dreams and being able to interpret them and seeming so strange and different from his brothers, so much so that they wanted to kill him, and the coat of many colors, it just represented the difference in his, the difference on his life, the favor that was on his life, but the anointing and the grace that was on his life. He was called to be different. He was made to be different, because had not he been different, then Egypt would have been wiped out and many of the other nations that had to come. Now, here was this young, different, odd young man that his brothers wanted to kill. But here's what happened. All of the nations, everybody was coming to Egypt to get food, because I said they were the only one that had it and they were paying for it. But one day, Joseph's brothers came too. They had to come to Egypt because of the famine that was in the land. They had to come to Egypt and get food. And guess who was there dishing it out? The one that they hated so much that they wanted to kill. The one that they hated so much that they wanted to do away with, because they could not see how he could possibly be, not this little oddball, that he could possibly be a ruler over them. But you know what they did when they got there? They bowed down. Just the way he had saw it in his dreams, they bowed down. And you know what the mother and father did? They bowed down, because he was the prince of Egypt. Everybody bowed down. So just as he saw it, just as he dreamed it, just as he held on to that thing, it was just the way he said it. Here's the lovely and beautiful thing about Joseph. He didn't take no revenge on him. He didn't say, I'm going to throw y'all in prison now, or I'm going to whip y'all, have my servants to whip you until you bleed. I'm going to pluck out your eyes and whatever, or do something horrible to you. He didn't do that. He forgave them. But I love this part, because he was human. He got a little dig in there. You know, he got, you know, he did something to them to get them in a little bit of trouble, but he forgave them, and he ended up bringing them into the fold, bringing them into the royalty, and the mother and the father and everybody lived well and did well because of him and his gifting and his odd gift. So this young man that was this dreamer and this oddball, this peculiar person, saved a whole nation, and many others, because he was that oddball. So some of you out there the same way, you wonder why you can't fit in. It seems like no matter what and who you are around, it seems like you just don't fit in. You're like a square trying to fit into a round hole. You're like the one that colors outside of the lines. You're the boat rocker, not in a negative way, but you just don't go according to everybody else's way. They rowing frontwards, but you want to row backwards. You know, because it's something in you that's different. It's something in you that sees things in a different way. There's something about you that see that how something could be accomplished in a different way than most people. So people look at you like you're odd. They look at like something's you're peculiar. You're strange. They don't understand you. You're like the sore thumb that sticks out. You're the one that doesn't fit in the cliques or with the cliques. You can't get in the cliques. The people are shun you and push you aside because you're different from them. You don't run with most people. You're not considered quote unquote normal, or you're not considered quote unquote average. And you ask yourself, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I fit in? I don't fit in. You know, when I go over here, I don't fit in. I go over there, I don't fit in. I just don't seem to fit in. I don't fit in with my family. I don't fit in with most people. I just don't fit in. And so you look at yourself and you begin to think that there is something wrong with you. And then you begin to say, well, I need to change something about myself. I need to change this, or I need to change that. Maybe people appreciate me more. Maybe I can fit into that round hole if I just shave off some of the square, that I become more like somebody else. And so sometimes you begin to back up some. Or you begin to dull your shine. Maybe if I don't shine so brightly, or maybe if people don't, you know, people get uncomfortable about my ideas. People get uncomfortable about my dreams. People get uncomfortable about the things that I share with them. So maybe if I pull back some, maybe I'll fit in better. Maybe people will like me more. But you're not supposed to fit in. You're supposed to be the odd man out. You're supposed to be unique. You're supposed to be peculiar. That's the way you are made, because you have to save a nation. There's so much greatness in you that you can't mesh with everybody. Excuse me. You can't be the average run-of-the-mill person. And it seems like you go through so much. Well, that's because too much is given, much is required. So, yeah, you go through a lot because you're being transformed. You go through a lot because you're being transformed into this being that you need to be to make this great imprint upon the earth. So, yeah, you're odd, you're different, you're unusual, you're peculiar, but that's okay. Be you. Let them throw you in a pit if necessary. Let them shun you. Let them talk behind your back. Let them do whatever they want to do, but you stay true to you. Here's another person. And let me pause right here to say you're listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life show with your host, Sheila Willis. Tonight we're talking about your oddity is your commodity. We're talking about the power of difference and how being different and the odd man out is a fuel for success. So here's another short story. And please feel free to call. The lines are open. 949-534-0637. If you want to give us a shout out. Or maybe you just want to share about your peculiarity, your unusualness, or your, you know, how you feel like you're the odd man out, or how you feel like you've been shunned because you know you have these giftings and whatever and what have you. Please feel free to call in. Again, that number is 949-534-0637, and you are listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life show with your host Sheila Willis. And so let me go on, and I'm going to tell you really quick, real quick, this one story, and then I want to share my own personal story if I have an opportunity to. But here's another story of this another young man, another little ruddy, little bitty man. A young boy at this time, and in this time We're speaking again of back in the day, in the Bible days, when it was time for a king, the kings were selected and they were anointed to be king, and usually that was done by the prophets. So it was time for a new king to come on the scene, and so the prophet went to look for the king for the new succession for the king, and he came upon these brothers, and there were eight brothers, and they were big and muscular and tall and you know, and height and just big in stature. They were just these big men, you know what I mean? Big examples of men. When you think about a man, what a man would look like. And so when a prophet went to anoint one as king, he knew that none of them were it. They looked the part, but he knew they were not the next king. And so he asked the father, he said, "Is there another? Do you have another son?" And he said, "Well, these are my finest, and, you know, these are the warriors, and these are this, and they do this, and they do that." And the prophet said, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but none of them are the king. Do you have another son? Because I was sent here to your house because the king is supposed to be here. The next king is supposed to be here. But I'm looking at these men, and none of them are it. So do you have another son?" And so the father said, "Yeah, he's out there with the sheep, you know, and that's basically what he does. He's a sheep herder. He loves the sheep. He spends all his time with the sheep. The sheep love him. He loves them. He smells like the sheep. And, you know, he out there, but he's no warrior. He's not big and strong and so on and so forth." And the prophet said, "Okay, go and get him." And when he went and got this little ruddy thing, sure enough, he smelled like the sheep, you know, and he didn't look like he would amount to much of anything. He didn't look like he would be the king. But when the prophet saw him, he heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "That's him." And so he anointed him to be king. And this young little ruddy, sheep-smelling, odd-looking thing became one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever had, and the most loved king that Israel had ever had. And God has said about him that he has never said about anyone else in the Bible, that he was the apple of his eye, and that was none other than David. But David was a little oddball. David didn't fit the bill. He didn't look like no other king. He was a peculiar little thing. And even when, before he became king and they were having a battle with the Philistines, and we all know the story of David and Goliath, and Goliath was this big giant of a thing, and David, you know, before David came on the scene, all of these big men, the soldiers of the army, they were afraid of Goliath. And Goliath was out there on the field punking them, saying, "I dare you to come out here and fight me, and I'm going to do this to you and cut your head off, and I'm going to hurt you and have you running back to your mama." Again, this is my own words. And he was out there punking them. He was punking the army of Israel, and they were afraid. Even the best of them were afraid. Nobody wanted to go out there and fight Goliath. Nobody did. And there was a time when history when they fought a war that instead of the whole army fighting, they would send out their best man and say, "Hey, okay, I'm going to send out my best man. You send out your best man. And whoever wins, then they win everything." So Goliath was their best man, and the Bible said he was almost nine feet tall, and I forget how much he weighed, but he was a big man. He was a giant compared to everybody else. And David was this little bitty ruddy thing, maybe almost 5 feet tall, if he was that tall. He was a little bitty thing. He was a little ruddy, skinny little thing, but he had heart. He was odd, he was strange, he was peculiar, but he had heart. And he said, went out there and said, y'all gonna let this one punk y'all? Y'all gonna let this man come out on the field and punk y'all, and y'all not gonna go take care of him? And it was like, hush and go home. You know, look, boy, you don't know what you're talking about. Go back to the sheep. You know, that's what you do. But David said, no, I'll take him on. I'll fight him. And he was so odd that even when they wanted to give him a sword and a shield, when they wanted to give him a spear and some armor to go and face this giant, he said, no, 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 thank you. I'm going to use my weapons. They may be odd, but I'm going to use them. And y'all know the story. He used a slingshot and some rocks. And that's how he brought the giant down, with the odd tools, these odd weapons of warfare. He brought them down. He brought him down. He's the only one that was brave enough, one, to stand against them, and then, two, went up against them with these little oddball weapons. David was an odd little thing. He was a peculiar thing, but he was a great and mighty king. So your oddity, being that odd man out, it can make the difference. It is the difference. It's your special sauce. It's your secret sauce. It is the thing that separates you from the rest. So while you're trying to get rid of it, while you're trying to let nobody know that you interpret dreams or that you prophesy or that whatever it is that you do that's different, whatever it is that you do that's peculiar, your dream that you have, or maybe raising up some type of company that nobody has ever done before. I have a desire to raise up grocery stores where you don't pay any money for the food. I don't know exactly how that's going to come together, but that dream is on my heart, and I believe one day it's going to come to pass. So maybe when you share your story or whatever it is, whatever is peculiar, I'm sure somebody one day saw themselves walking on the moon, Neil Armstrong. One day he had that dream, because you have to dream it before you can ever see it. It has to enter into your heart before it manifests in the earth realm. So when you have these dreams, it's because they're coming from the spirit realm, or if this works better for you, the non-physical realm or the metaphysical realm. Whatever word resonates with you, because it basically is all the same thing. So before anything enters into this physical realm, it already exists in the non-physical realm, and it enters into your heart as a dream. It enters into your mind as a thought, as a dream. As you can imagine it, you can see it, even though you cannot see it with your natural eye, you can see it in what I like to call your mind's eye, in your imagination. You already see yourself doing it. And when you see yourself doing it, it will manifest. It will manifest in this realm. And so you're laying in the bed and you're thinking about this grand dream or desire or vision or your purpose. But you're afraid of it, because you said, if I tell somebody, if I share that with somebody, they're going to think I'm weird. They already think I'm weird. They'll think I'm weirder. So I don't want to tell nobody that. And let me give you a little secret. Let me tell you something. You cannot share everything with everybody. Those haters, the ones that don't want to see you succeed. You know, people say, I've seen flyer go around, and I've heard people say this so many times. They say, be careful about or notice who doesn't clap when you win. And that's how you can tell who your haters are, the people that don't clap when you win, or the people who always have something to say about your success. Or when you share your dreams with them, they're quiet. They don't have much to say about it. They don't encourage you. They don't say, oh, well, that's great. I believe you can do that. You know, they're really quiet about it, because they're doubting whether or not you can do it. Or if they're not quiet about it, they say something negative to try to talk you out of it in some kind of way, because they don't believe in you, and they don't have the faith in you, and they don't have the faith in your ability. They don't have the faith in your dreams, or they're jealous that you just might pull it off. So they're not going to encourage you, because they don't want to see you pull it off. So you don't share with those people. You don't share with people when you are when you come around them and you're trying to express having a better life or having more out of life or having a better or more successful business, and they have something negative to say. Those are not the ones that you want to share with. And caller, I see you. Please hold on. I'm gonna get you in just one moment. Please don't hang up. I just want to finish this point. And so those are the people that you don't share with. You share with the people who your dream, your purpose, whatever it is that you're sharing with them resonates with them too. And they're giving you a high five and they're telling you, yes, you can do it. You don't share with people like Joseph's brothers that's going to throw you in the pit and try to kill you because they're jealous of you. You share with the people who are rooting for you. You share with the people who are celebrating you. You share with the people who want to see you do well. That's the people that you share with. Now, hold on a second. Let's answer this call. Caller, are you there? Hello? Hello? Caller, are you there?
The drought is over.
Alrighty, we seem to have lost a caller. So at any rate, these are the people you share with, the people who are going to celebrate you. You share with the people who are going to encourage you. You share with the people who are going to inspire you. So you're right in the sense of not sharing with people who you know don't have your heart. But there are some people out there that you can share with, and you'll know that. You'll know them. You'll know the people that you can share with because they will be ones that will resonate with you. They will be ones that will encourage you. They will be ones that have your best interest in heart. So, again, you are listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life show, and we would love for you to call in. Please call in and share your stories. Please call in if you have a question or if you want to maybe get some help. You know, maybe you're the oddball out. Maybe you're that peculiar thing. Maybe you're that odd thing and you don't know what to do, or you feel like you want to try to fit in and you don't, you know, you just need some help. And if that's so, please do call in. And that number is 949-534-0637. And again, you are listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life show. And we're talking about your oddity is your commodity, of the power of the difference and how being different and the odd man out can be your fuel for success. So let me share with you, if I may, as we are going into the last half hour of the show, I'm going to share with you my personal story. And, you know, I have always been the oddball out. I've never really been cliquish. People have, you know, have formed cliques and you know, let me tell you the difference, if I may, between a clique and a network. Because see, there's nothing wrong with networking, and there's nothing wrong with being a part of a network. But being a part of a clique and being a part of a network or networking or being cliquish is two different things. And when you are a part of a network or when you are networking with like-minded people, then you are all working together for a common goal or common purpose that you want to see come to pass. You're not excluding people. You're working with people who are like-minded, who have your same goal. But when people are part of a clique, they are excluding people for whatever reason. They're excluding people because they don't think that they're good enough, or they don't think they are, or they think that they're better than some people or whatever. So they form these cliques. You know, we're going to get together, and because we are the elite, you know. And so they exclude people because they deem themselves as higher or more lofty than someone else. And that's cliquish. You know, that's cliquish. And so I've never been able to be a part of a clique. I've never been able to fit into that type of thing. I've always been the square trying to fit in a round peg, and I've always been that one that colored outside of the line. I've always been that unusual, that peculiar type of kid, that peculiar kind of person, you know. And so I have gone through most of my time and most of my life with that feeling, you know, that, well, why don't I fit in, you know, and why do I always seem like I'm the odd person? That even when I would find a new group or find a new network or whatever, and it seems like, you know, I'm not that one that's singled out. I'm not that one that's selected. I know you're out there listening to me that can identify with that. You know very well what I mean. But I have come to understand it is because I'm supposed to be different. It is because I'm not supposed to run with everybody. You know, it is because it's just the way that I've been chosen. It's just the way that I've been. It doesn't make me better than, doesn't make me less than. It just makes me different. And then that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the power of being different. And so whatever is your thing that makes you different from everybody else, it's your secret sauce. It's what you do that can't nobody do like you. That there may be many hosts, radio host, but can't nobody host a Happy Mind, Happy Life show the way I do, because this is my baby and this is what I do. So it doesn't matter what people are doing. It doesn't matter if you have a clothing business and a million more people have clothing businesses. Can nobody do your business the way you do it? Because you bring your own sauce. You bring your own personality. You bring your own difference. And when you stand in that, when you walk in your difference, when you walk in your oddity, when you walk in your peculiarity, then that's what separates you. But when you're trying to be and do something, and it's nothing wrong with getting ideas, I don't mean that, but when you're trying to copy yourself after someone because they seem to be more popular or because they seem to be more accepted or whatever, then you're losing yourself, you know, and you're losing the thing that makes you different. You're losing the thing that will make you successful, because now you're just like everything else you see out there. Now you're just like every other person, but you don't want to be that. Don't be afraid to be the oddball. Don't be afraid to let your peculiarity separate you from other people, you know, and from other things. You know, don't be afraid of that. You don't have to fit in. You don't have to make yourself like everybody else. You don't. You know, so be comfortable with being yourself. Be comfortable in yourself. You know, and you know, I've had many times, you know, where I felt like I was the person that was the oddball. You know, that everybody else was flowing and clicking together, but I was the oddball. I went to churches where I felt like I was the oddball, that everybody was clicked up but me, you know, but that's okay because I was sent there to be different, you know, so it's okay for you to be different. I've been different in the office spaces, even different in my own family, you know, and so it's all right to be different and to be yourself. And dare to be different and dare to be yourself. And the things that you have been given, the things that you know, your dreams and your desires and the things that you want to see come to pass, it may seem abnormal and it may not seem like anybody has ever done it before, but that's okay. Do it anyway. That's okay. Go for it anyway, regardless if it makes you seem strange or not. Do what you've been called to do. Some of us have been called to be trailblazers. I know that that is one of the things that I have been called to do in the earth. I'm a trailblazer. I do things before most people do them. I get the idea before most people get them. And a lot of us are called to be trailblazers. So people, the road that you're paving out, people haven't gone that way before. The things that you see haven't been done before, because that's what it's been given to you. You don't think that people thought that Bill Gates was odd when he first came up with the idea of Windows. You don't think that Steve Jobs was called odd, but these men changed the face of a nation. Changed, you know. So in order for you to be able to do that, you have to be dare to be different. And I'm not going to say that you're going to be a Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. I'm not necessarily saying that, but if that's how big your vision is, go for it. If that's how big your dream is, go for it. You know, don't let nobody stop you in that, and don't let nobody tell you. Look at Joseph, the example of Joseph. Joseph changed an entire nation, but just a dream, just being that oddball. And he knew he was going to do it, and he saw himself doing it, and he held on to it regardless of what happened in his life. And that's another thing, regardless of what is going on in your life, regardless of all of the trials, tribulations, the persecutions, whatever, when, no matter what happens in your life, stay true to your call, stay true to your dreams, stay true to your purpose, stay true to your destiny, stay true to the things that you know that you want to have and do for yourself, that thing that is in your heart, that thing that's in your heart, that no matter what, you can't shake it, no matter what happens, you can't shake it. It seems like you keep, you know, you're keeping at it, you're keeping at it, you're keeping at it, you don't see a change, but you still, it doesn't leave your heart. It doesn't leave your heart. You know that it is what you're supposed to do. You know that it is what you're supposed to go for, because you cannot shake it. Stay with it. Stay with it. And one day, bam, it's going to happen. Just like Joseph, he went from the prison to the palace in one day. In one day. But it took him many days to get there. He was in prison 3 years before that, you know? And so it took him many years to get there, but when it was time for his destiny to come to pass, when it was time for his purpose to come to pass, he went from the prison to the palace in one day. So there's a lot of sudden seasons that it seems like they happen suddenly, but they really don't. There's years of preparation. There's time of preparation. And it's not like I hear people say, I'm waiting on God. Mm-mm. No, you're not. No, you're not. God is getting you prepared. So you're ready. So you're ready for whatever that dream is. You're ready for whatever that business is. You're ready for whatever that ministry is. You're ready for whatever the purpose is. You're ready for that husband. You're ready for that wife. You're ready to be and do whatever the being that you've been created to be. You got to get ready for that. You got to unlearn a lot of stuff. You know, we come in this earth, we are full of promise, and we know everything it is that we're supposed to fulfill in our life. But then as we go along, we start forgetting things. We get in the educational system, and we start forgetting about who we really were or who we really are. So it's a lot of things that we have to unlearn. We forget that miracles happen. We forget that we can create the life that we want to live. We forget all of that because we have an educational system that teaches the opposite of that, that teaches us how to be in the rat race and the dog eat dog and beat out this person and beat out that person. But you don't have to do that. All you have to do is stay true to who you are and stay true to what has been given to you, because every person in this earth, every single person in this earth has a purpose, and every single person in this earth has a destiny, and every single person in this earth has gifts and talents to bring those purposes and those dreams to pass. Everybody. So you ain't got to be jealous of the next person. You don't have to try to be the next person. Just be you and do you. And don't feel left out or don't feel, you know, well, I got to be like anybody else. Just be true to yourself. Be your authentic self. That is the very, very, very best that you can do. And one thing is absolutely for sure, you got to be you because everybody else is taken. You can't be anybody else, even if you tried, even if you did your hair just like theirs and you wore the clothes that they wore, if you the styles that they wear, you put your makeup on just like they do, you learn to talk like them, you learn to walk like them, and you learn to do everything they do, you still ain't them. You're still not them. You're just a copy. You're just a copy. You still can't be them. You can't be anybody but you. So why not be the very best that you can be? Why not be your very best self and let everybody do them and you do you? Why not that? So you're listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life show with your host, Sheila Willis. And tonight we are talking about your oddity is your commodity. We're talking about how being different, the power of difference. And we're talking about how being different and being that odd man out can be the fuel for your success. I really hope that those of you who are listening in tonight, I just wanted to kind of have a fireside chat with you tonight. We'll come back next week and we will do, actually, I didn't tell you this at the very beginning of the, at the start of the show, but I am dedicating the month of April to women. I'm dedicating the month of April to women. And so I'm going to have some women that I network with in one way or another. I'm going to have them to come on and to share with you their stories of victory, from struggle to victory. Just share their stories in hopes that it's going to inspire, encourage, and uplift you, you know, into doing what it is that you need to do and the things that you are doing. I'm going to have a woman come on every week in the month of April to share her story of empowerment. And I haven't gotten everybody lined up, so I'm not exactly sure who will be here next Thursday, but it will definitely be one of the women that I network with. And so if you're listening to me, you are out there in the listening audience and you are, you have a story that you can share that would empower, motivate, or uplift someone, please send me an email. My email address is swillis@lifecoachsheilawillis.com. If you would like to come on the show as a guest during the month of, during the month of April to share with the women, please. And then for the men, my men out there, I don't want you to tune us out during the month of April. I still want you to tune in every Thursday, even though we're dedicating the show to women. There just may be something that you hear that may be inspiring or encouraging for you. And perhaps it'll be something that you can share with your significant other, you know, or your sister or your mother or your niece or whatever. So, men, I don't want you to not tune in. So please do, but we are dedicating the month of April for the things that women go through and the things that women deal with and the things that women are challenged with. And so we will do that. I think I shared with you before, but let me share this again. And this is the reason why I'm doing the month of April as the dedication to honoring women the month of April. One of the things that I heard the Spirit say for this year is that this is the year of the woman. This is the year of the woman. And we have seen that confirmed in several different ways, and maybe you may not have paid any attention to it, but it truly is signs and confirmations that have started from the very beginning of this year that this is the year of the woman. And one of the things was Oprah winning the Cecil B. Award. She's the first black woman to ever do that. And God said that this was the year of the woman before she won that. And so it was confirmation to me that he said that. And then to see these high-powered men come down out of these positions of power that were abusive to women, and that people are starting to rally around and believe the stories of abuse and allegations that the women made towards these big, powerful men who probably thought they were untouchable, and so that they could do anything they wanted to do, and we're seeing them fall like flies. That is also confirmation that this is the year of the woman. And then let me tell you something. You know, I've seen some other confirmations, but I want to say this one because I just love this so. If you have not, and I said this on my live the other day, if you have not seen the Black Panther movie, you have to see it. I don't care what race you are. You have to see it. And one of the things that was very inspiring to me and confirmation to me that this is truly the year of the woman was those women. The women in that movie, y'all, they were holding it down. These women display such power, such grace, such elegance, such sophistication, such brilliance, such intelligence, like nothing that I have ever seen on the movie screen. Nothing that I have ever seen to date on the movie screen. And if you have seen it, then you know what I'm talking about. If you have not seen it, you need to see it. If you don't see it, for no other reason but that reason. And so that to me was also confirmation that this is truly the year of the woman. I don't think that that movie came out by coincidence. I know there's a lot of other things that movie signifies, so many things that it signifies, but one of the things I know it signifies is that this is the year of the woman. It truly is. And so I wanted to do something to honor women. And so we're going to dedicate the month of April. And you say, why April? I say, why not April? You know, one of the reasons is because it's my birthday month. And so I like that. And so we're going to just take that month and we're going to honor women. If we get more, because we're only here four times a month, but if we get more than four women, and it looks like we're going to have more than four women that want to come and speak, then we'll double up on a week, you know. And because another thing that the Spirit said is that this is the year of the collab. And so we will do a collaboration and have two women on at the same time, or three women on at the same time, and wouldn't that be awesome? And so whatever we need to do to make sure that we have enough places for the women that do want to come on and share their story, we're going to do that, even if we need to spill over into the month of May. But we're going to honor the women that want to come and share their stories, and then we just want to honor women across the board. So please don't forget that we'll be starting on Thursday with April. Let me see what date that is. I know Sunday is April 1st, isn't that something? But that will be the 5th. We're starting April the 5th. We're going to have a women come on and to share their story. So look out for that. Please come back and tune in for that. We're just about 10 minutes away from the show ending. I was hoping that we would get someone to call. I apologize for the caller that did call in a couple of times. There was, I don't know why, but the call dropped both times that you called in. I did try to, I don't know if you couldn't hear me or whatever. So if you're still listening, I apologize to you that we were not able to take your call. But if there's anyone else out there that wants to call in, we just have a few minutes. I'll give maybe another 2 or 3 minutes for you to do so. And if not, then we won't prolong the time. We'll go ahead and end the show. So the number to call in again is 949-534-0637. Again, that number is 949-534-0637. And this is the Happy Mind, Happy Life show. And I am your host, Sheila Willis. And while we're waiting, like I said, I'm going to give it maybe 2 or 3 more minutes. I will announce again that I will be doing a webinar the second week in May is going to be 5 days. It's actually going to be a live video series, and it's going to be from Tuesday to Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. Yeah, Tuesday through Saturday, the second week in May. And we're going to be talking about how to remove money blocks. The title of the video series is My Money Boo. And we're going to talk about and examine, look at your relationship with money, because your relationship with money basically determines its flow in your life. And we're going to talk about if that needs to be improved, and how do you go about doing that, and how do you go about removing money blocks from your life. So the title again of the video series is My Money Boo. And so be looking out for the advertisement and the marketing on that. And we will hope that you will all attend. I have designed two brand new designs of for T-shirts. One is dedicated to the Black Panther movie, and the other is dedicated to queens in the sense of royalty. And so they will be on my website by tomorrow, I promise. So go and check those out. We will appreciate your support in that. And then lastly, I revised my ebook that I have on Amazon.com. It's been there about 3 years, but I just haven't been marketing it as I should. So I revised it, and it is ready for you to pick up at any time, because it is an ebook. It's an instant download. It's a short book, so you can read it maybe in an hour or two or whatever. And the title of that is 10 Simple Ways to manifest more money, 10 simple ways to manifest more money using the law of attraction. So it's to really give you a quick 10 easy, simple steps that you can use to create a better flow of money in your life. It'll kind of get you started and get you flowing if you're not very versed in the law of attraction. So that's about it that I have going on for myself. Do visit our website, www.lifecoachsheilawillis.com. All of the products and services that I have, the audios, the videos, they're all there. All of my T-shirts are there. All of the information about what it is that we do and why, everything is there. So do visit our website. We do also have a book of the month ebook of the month club. Is free. You can sign up for that, and you can receive a free ebook every month. It is personal development, self-help type of books. And so if you're interested in that, please go to my website, click on free stuff, and you can sign up for that ebook, and you'll receive a different ebook every month as long as you subscribe to the book club. And so that's it. That's basically all I have. Since no one is calling in, we're not going to prolong the show. I do appreciate you being here. Again, I give a shout out to our international audience. I appreciate you listening in. I'm thinking that you're probably doing it by replay, but I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that you are tuning in, and I'm thankful to all of you, and I'm happy that you all are here. I'm thankful to my listening audience. I'm thankful to and for all of our new listeners, and for the caller that called in and we couldn't get your call. I'm thankful for everyone. I'm happy that you're here. I'm happy that you tune in. Please check us out on our website. Please support us with our products and our ebooks and the other services that we provide. And we will very, 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 very much appreciate that. So thank you so much. You've been listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. Until next time, please keep living your happy.